Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And let's begin today with that case of the child in Donabate in Dublin who's missing and presumed dead. Tusla has confirmed that it was involved with the child and his family 5 years ago. The agency said in a statement that they got involved at the request of the family, but their engagement ceased in 2020. Now, they gave no further details, but RTE News understands that the child was put up for adoption, was in foster care for around 18 months before he was returned to the family. Joe Mooney is an assistant professor of social work at UCD and he joins me on the line now. Dr. Mooney, thank you for being with us this morning. So I mentioned there that the situation the little boy was in with Tusla, we understand our colleague Paul Reynolds has reported that he was put up for adoption. He was in foster care, then returned to the family. In general terms, in a case like that, is that something that would happen regularly, that Tusla involvement would cease at some point?
Sure. So thanks very much, Claire. And I suppose first and foremost, thoughts with the family and the community in Donabate at the moment. In a general sense, yes, of course, there is a possibility that a child would be returned to its family of origin, its primary carers in situations where it has been in contact with Tusla. And in fact, Tusla, as the child and family agency for the state, has a legal obligation to work towards such reunification with the primary family where that is appropriate to do so. So where those safety markers are met for the child or children in a particular case. This particular child, obviously, we don't have the clear facts at the moment. Was obviously in the state care at some point, so therefore there was court involvement at some point, and usually that would be a case where there is a certain legal threshold met that there is a likelihood, or there has been, or there may currently be harm, or that child's welfare or needs are not being currently met. So those thresholds are met where a child comes into the state care. So that's obviously a process that took place in this case.
Mm-hmm. But Joe, can you explain to us when reunification of a family happens, and you've explained to us it's a legal obligation for Tusla to pursue that, how long should Tusla, or does Tusla, stay involved with that child and with that family?
Yeah, so that depends really on a very much on a case by case basis. There's a legal imperative, as I said, there under the Child Care Act to work towards that reunification where it's within the best interests of the child. It's also written into our constitution in terms of the children's rights referendum in terms of working towards that reunification. There is also, unfortunately, some system pressures for reunification where we do have a well-documented shortage of foster care placements in our state, and therefore it's a huge struggle to find adequate and appropriate foster placements for children in state care, and extra safeguards can be put into the family themselves in order to return children in that case. Where Tusla do reunify the child with the family, how long they stay involved, as I say, is very much on a case-by-case basis. It would be based on those thresholds around the risk and security for that family, for that child or children, and ensuring that that child's welfare and development needs are being met in that environment. Now, that can often be done in a number of ways. And Tusla, as only a part of the child protection system, work with lots of other organisations, community-based organisations, other statutory services. So what would often happen where a child is being returned to their family from state care is a suite of services would be put in place, such as family support services, family resource centres. And in fact, Tusla oversee a model known as MEHL, which is a community-based model whereby one of those community services would act as a lead organisation, and they will coordinate what is essentially a suite of services around a child or family. It's not clear again if this happened in this case or what the details of that are.
Mm-hmm.
One
but
final
if that
piece on that.
I just wanted to ask you though, if that happens, so if Tusla say we're going to hand this over now to another community-based system, does Tusla still have oversight over that family and that child?
It depends on the case again. So where the safety thresholds are not beyond a certain point that there isn't a need for statutory services, then Tusla most likely would not be involved at that point. And I suppose it's important that in the general sense of things, that families aren't are met at the lowest possible level of intervention. This is people's everyday family lives. They need to be able to go about their business and go and engage in their lives. I'm not talking about this specific case, obviously. So it's important that families and children are met with at the lowest possible level of intervention. And that's not always a statutory service. Mm-hmm. So where TUSLA has been involved, but there is safety. There are services involved that can help the family within their local community. It is sort of within the normal working model of TUSLA to withdraw from the family in that case.
Okay. Because questions are being asked about the system now today, and you might have heard, or our listeners might have heard, Sinn Féin TD Claire Curran on Morning Ireland saying she believes there's a gap in the system for the oversight of children under the age of five. So I presume she's talking about children there who aren't in the school system. Do you think there is a gap for those children?
Well, it depends. I suppose it's important to come back to that point that TUSLA is one aspect of the child protection system. So we bandy about this common sort of phrase of child protection is everybody's business, until it's not, I suppose. All of community partners that engage with children have a role in child protection. So if there's a gap, it's between agencies, it's between oversight. There's no one lead at that point where a child is not involved in statutory services. It's hard to say there's a gap, but there's definitely a scenario here where we have a child who's not engaged in the school service, and there isn't a state oversight in that sense.
So that
is a difficult one.
When you say that there are many different community organisations, agencies, NGOs who have responsibility for these children under five, I think people listening to this, Joe, would think, well, if a child was given up for adoption and in foster care, surely a case like that, the state child and family agency is the one that would need to have close oversight in a situation like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But as I say, we don't have the full details of this case. If this child was in a process of moving towards adoption from state care, for example, the Child and Family Agency would have been involved at that time. I don't have details to suggest that they weren't, or what the timeline on the child being received into state care, removed from state care, and the adoption. We don't have those details, as far as I'm aware. Mm. What is concerning and what has been raised a couple of times is that the timeline seems to be around this COVID period. And I did hear the previous speaker on this morning calling for a review of cases where TUSLA may have been involved with children during COVID. I'd like to see some parameters around that suggestion and what it might produce for us. The main concern from my point of view, and we conducted a study, myself and colleagues from NUI Galway and elsewhere, on social worker intervention during COVID. We spoke to social workers, we got them to reflect on their practice during COVID. And what they were worried about is they weren't seeing children at first instance. So those referrals weren't coming in. So it's a bit of an unknown at that point.
Mm-hmm. So you would agree that we perhaps need to take a look at those COVID cases in particular?
Well, I suppose my point is the COVID cases at that point of children who have been involved in TUSLA are children who did come into the system. They were referred at some point.
Uh-huh.
What was the main worry during COVID is children not being referred to TUSLA. So those general community services not seeing children. So I wouldn't necessarily agree at this point with a full review of cases during the COVID period. I think what's really important in this particular case, which I understand has been initiated, is a review, a referral to the National Review Panel. They do produce very succinct, useful, impactful reports where a child had died in contact with state child protection services. And I think it's important that they're allowed to do their work in terms of this particular issue, produce that report. And then if that's highlighting something systemic, absolutely, we need to take a look at a closer look at that.
Well, Joe, stay with us if you can, because I want to bring in Pather Tobin, leader of AINTHU and TD from Meath West, who's been listening to that. And Pather, thank you for being with us. This is a troubling case for people to get their heads around, and we are talking more generally now because the fear is, isn't it, that there are going to be more cases similar to this where people might have been lost to the system in some way. That's the concern.
Yeah, I suppose just it's a heartbreaking case. It's absolutely shocking when you think about it that currently there are two searches for the remains of two boys in relation to child protection situations in Ireland. And if you look at, you know, in general, what's happening to Tuzla at the moment, Tuzla is inundated. Last year, there were 96,000 children referred to Tuzla, which is, you know, 40,000 more than just about 5 years ago. Of those, about 7,000 of those children were referred for physical abuse. About 4,000 were referred for sexual abuse. 4,000 were referred because of potential neglect. And the rest, 43,000, were referred because of child welfare concerns. And most of those referrals were either by Gardaí social workers or teachers, but also probation officers, immigration officials, and managers in provision, direct provision centres and homeless accommodation as well. And, you know, we've been looking at some what's actually happening. It's incredible that since 2014, there have been 235 children who were either in state care or known to state care who've died. And of these, 10 were murdered and 51 of these children died as a result of suicide or drug overdoses. So these two shocking situations that we're dealing with at the moment are not unique by any means. And there is a real challenge here because I believe that Tuzla doesn't have the necessary resources. It says it needs hundreds of millions of euros extra to be able to do its job. And it needs hundreds of staff extra to be able to do their job. From what I'm hearing is that many of the social workers who are working, especially in the residential care sector, are burning out at a very young age and leaving the sector because of difficulties that they're in. And, you know, I do believe that we have to have a situation where the minister takes on a more hands-on approach to this because, you know, we've been raising the issue of children going missing from special emergency accommodation for the last number of years. And these children have been targeted for sexual exploitation by criminal gangs. And yet there doesn't seem to be the impetus from government to make sure that first of all, Tuzla has the resources, but second of all, that there is a review over the effectiveness of their actions at the moment as
well.
So
it sounds like you're not pointing the finger at Tuzla and its handling of cases. You're saying Tuzla is under-resourced.
Well, no, there are definitely questions to be answered in this. And, you know, it was mentioned earlier, would not the fact that a child is taken into foster care not reach the threshold for a child then to be checked maybe on an annual basis or every couple of years to make sure that that child is developing properly within their family? And that doesn't seem to be the case. It does seem quite shocking that a child was taken into foster care and was being put up for adoption, then returned to the parents. And then from 2020 till now, Tuzla had no engagement with the family at all. And that seems really surprising. I do believe that COVID has had some effect, and there's no doubt that this child wasn't in school. So, you know, in terms of the school system, the school system's ability to oversee children who are in danger was definitely reduced during COVID. But I also know that, you know, when a child gets into Tuzla and Tuzla needs maybe a child psychologist, a child psychiatrist, CAMHS, drug rehabilitation, those services are often not there for those children. And those, you know, those children are put on waiting lists. So what I'm saying is that we do need to review Tuzla and this particular case and other cases, but we need to make sure that Tuzla can do its job, that it's funded, it's resourced properly as well.
Do you think Tuzla can tell us more about this particular case? Because they did confirm yesterday that they were involved with the family 5 years ago. But it was journalists, including Paul Reynolds, who managed to establish this child was actually in foster care, had been put up for adoption firstly in foster care and then returned to the family. Do you think it would be helpful now if Tuzla could come forward with the full facts around its involvement with this family?
Yeah, I do think that Tuzla needs to come before the Committee of Children in Leinster House. But I also think that the Minister for Children needs to come forward as well in relation to this. There may be a fact that obviously we are searching for a child and there may be obviously an issue around privacy, etc., why details can't be gone into. But I do think in a committee situation, at least in a private committee situation, there needs to be full disclosure of exactly what Tuzla's engagement with this family was and what happened to this child. Because, you know, this child is just one of hundreds who have lost their lives while in the care or known to state care agencies in this country, and it has to stop.
Pather Tobin, thank you for joining us this morning. Pather Tobin is leader of AIM2, and Dr. Joe Mooney, who we heard from a little earlier, assistant professor of social work at UCD. And that search for that little boy is ongoing this morning in North Dublin, and we're keeping a close eye on it. If anything develops, of course, we'll bring it to you.